So I started playing L.A. Noire, actually, a few days ago.
Do you like it?
At first I didn't. It seemed like it was more of an interactive story than a game. But after a little bit of encouragement from another friend, said just push through it and eventually it'll become more of a game. And yeah, I'm at the more open part where I can actually do things and enjoy it a lot more.
I've been waffling. It's super cheap now. Like it, I've seen it for like $15, $17 all over the place. So I'll probably end up getting it eventually and trying it out.
Yeah, we got it at Best Buy when they had one of their daily deals for $9.99.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so
I need to pay attention to Best Buy then, I think.
yeah, we got Dragon Age 2 for $9.99 last month,
Wow.
which is still not really worth it in my opinion, but Lindsay loves it. It's one of BioWare's missteps in my opinion.
Completely agree.
Yeah. But you know, I'm looking forward to Dragon Age 3. They said that they've learned from their mistakes. So,
Well,
we'll
as long
see.
as if they just change up the dungeons, I'd be happy.
Yeah. No, that was a big thing, was you'd walk around. First of all, they hyped this game up as so much larger in scope than the first Dragon Age. Well, you know what? The first Dragon Age, I traveled around an entire country. I saved the entire planet from an archdemon and from another blight. That's a pretty big deal.
You had six different, I think six or eight different starting stories that were totally different for what, 5 hours?
Yeah.
And this one, it was the exact same story, just different classes.
Yeah, it just cycles around who lives and who dies depending on
Yep.
what sex and what class you choose.
Yeah, that was a it was a letdown for
Yeah.
sure.
Well, and then the whole game pretty much takes place in one city with some outlying areas, and then all of the cellars look the same, all of the sewers look the same, all of the caves look the same.
Right.
I don't know.
Sadness.
Yeah. Disappointing. I had told Lindsay that we'd wait until the Ultimate Edition inevitably came out with all the DLC and expansions packed in. But we had been renting it from Gamefly, I think, for a long time because she wanted to play it. So I figured we might as well just spend the $9.99 when it was on sale and free up the extra Gamefly slot.
Smart plan.
Yeah.
I would turn my Gamefly today too. I have
Oh,
Catherine out. I've had Catherine for a while. And I'm never going to beat it. So,
yeah? Now, we had a period of about 2 months last year where we had two games out that we never played that sat on the table. So we paid $50 for two games that we never even touched and eventually sent back.
what I'm afraid is going to start happening with me. But I played a lot of Catherine. It's just way too hard.
Yeah.
Difficulty spike is idiotic.
I played a little, and it was interesting. I just didn't care enough to really continue.
That's kind of how I feel. I think it's a really great idea and it's inventive, but I just, yeah, got to the point where couldn't care anymore.
Well, I'm going to welcome everyone to episode 14 now of Marooners Talk, titled Something About Used Games. And online passes. There we go.
Yep.
Something about used games and online passes. Let me make another note of that this week so I don't forget it by the end. Because that is just how my brain works.
And online passes are the talk of the day, so for everywhere, really.
Oh, yeah. And it's. I can understand the motivation for it on the publisher side. Because in their mind, you know, used games are the devil. However, that kind of thing where you're determining the value of a used game or the viability of a used game or essentially what a person can do with that game after they've purchased it.
Yeah, I guess we should backtrack because the whole thing came about because of, I'm guessing, the two stories. The online pass was from Kingdoms of Amalur, which has the seven quests locked out if you don't buy it new, and then the Xbox 720 so-called locking out all used games.
Yeah.
But that's still as of yet unconfirmed, I suppose, but that's the
Yeah. Did you see GameStop stock drop a little bit after that?
Yep, which is not surprising.
No. Well, that's their bread and butter right now.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Because I mean, obviously, I wrote the little editorial about did a locking out of used games. And the weird thing for me with Xbox doing that is, what other medium do we consume in any way, shape, or form that the people you buy it from then dictate how you use it after they get your money?
Right.
No other medium does that. It's like saying a car. They're not going to let you use your car stereo once you buy it, unless they give you permission to, or you can't let somebody else drive your vehicle when you purchase it, or you bring a loaf of bread home, but you can't eat six slices of it. You don't ever see that in any other medium.
Right.
It's really bizarre. I mean, not even movies and stuff like that. You'd think that they would have a problem with it, but they don't even care after they get your money.
Yeah. Well, it's like buying a car, and then you sell it to someone else later on, but you sell it without the engine. So you have a car, you just can't drive it on the roads.
Right.
You know, you buy a game, you just can't play it online.
And the funny thing is somebody could buy a car without an engine and still put use to it. I mean, they could still put another one in or do something with it.
Right.
There really is no real world sort of analogy between gaming and everything else.
No.
And that's really what the crux of my issue comes down to is when I buy a physical piece of anything, I feel that I've paid for it. I paid $60. I own the content. It is now my content. Why can't I take it to a friend's house? Why can't I recoup some of my loss if the game's absolute shit?
Exactly. If you don't like a game, well, you're kind of stuck with it at some point in the future, because there is going to be no value to anyone else after that original purchase.
And how would they handle if your system breaks? When you get a new system, are they going to consider all your games used? And when you want to get rid of those games, do you just throw them in the trash? It's really ridiculous. And I know that they think people will spend more on new games. But, you know, I bought Dungeon Siege 3 the other day. And I tried the demo, and I knew it was boring. And then I saw it at GameStop for $15 yesterday. So I picked it up because it'll be fun to screw around for an hour or two. And I'll get my $15 worth. I would never buy this game new,
right?
Ever. And that's the thing, is it's not going to inspire anyone to buy something. There's a lot of games that have sequels that come out too, where I might play the first game, buy it used, end up buying the new one later. But if I never buy it new and I don't want to risk my $60, I'll never buy that series ever. So I don't see how it can possibly do anything but hamper new game sales.
Right. Well, and you know, that whole thing, if you have a market that does primarily buy used, you're not necessarily going to get them to start buying new.
Right.
You're either not going to improve your business at all, because you're still going to have the people who buy new anyway, or you're going to increase console modding in order to be able to play used games, mm-hmm. or you're going to increase... It's not, I don't think, going to have a huge impact on new sales.
Because
you're not going to change the personality of the people. Someone doesn't want to spend $60 on a game they're not comfortable with, they're not going to spend $60 on a game they're not comfortable with. It's not going to change it.
And who's going to risk $60 on a completely unknown IP? Like, I'm not going to go out and pick something up. There's been demos too. I mean, I know that that's their other argument is we'll put demos up, but there's a lot of crap demos out there, a lot of demos that have seemed to be one way and the game has ended up being absolute garbage.
Yeah.
I just don't feel that it's acceptable to take away people's ability to recoup anything. And that's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, it's the other way around too. There have been a lot of demos for games that have been really bad, but then the game comes out and it's fantastic. I wouldn't know that based on the demo, so I'm not going to buy the game.
I think Bulletstorm is my example for this year, because I'm not a huge shooter fan, and I didn't really like the demo. But I heard so much about it, and I saw it for, I think, $20 used at one point. I picked it up. Love that game. I absolutely love it, and I will buy any sequel to that game day one.
It
was a fantastic game, and I think vastly underrated. And at this point, if I hadn't been able to pick it up used for that amount of money, knowing that, hey, I can take it back in a week, or I can sell it on eBay, whatever, if I hadn't had that, I never would have risked the chance to purchase that game.
Yeah.
So it just seems to me that Xbox is really screwing over their consumer and all of their publishers, because, you know, a $10 XBLA game, I'm a little bit more, you know, I understand it's a downloadable title. I don't mind that I'm putting my $10 in, if I, you know, that's my risk, but right. $5-$10 is different from $60.
Absolutely.
You know, so I don't know. I don't see them recouping anything on doing that.
Yeah. God, I'm sorry. I'm watching Lindsay play Dragon Age 2 in front of me, and she's in one of the caverns. And the way they differentiate the caverns is just by blocking off certain passages.
Yeah. Yep.
So she's walking around this cavern, and there's just the door frame is still there. They didn't bother removing the door frame. They just put like a block of stone in the middle of it, and she's flipping me off again.
And the mini map still shows the passageway. You just can't get to it.
Yeah. No, the mini map will still show the passageway. Yeah, they didn't even bother to update that. It's just, God, the lack of effort that went into the level design of Dragon Age 2 boggles my mind.
That's another example of a game that, of course, I love Dragon Age 1, and it's BioWare, so I paid $60. If I would have been screwed with that game and it would have been stuck on my shelf and I couldn't have put it towards purchasing another game, I would have been livid and I would have been scared to pick up another BioWare game. Like, I would probably not grab Dragon Age 3.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect example of, you know, sometimes games are disappointing and you need to give people a chance to, you need to be able to buy back their affection and their trust.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like I was saying, we spent $60 on Dragon Age. We bought every single piece of DLC and we bought the expansion Awakening on the physical disc of it. And, you know, and then they come out with the Ultimate Edition for $29.99, which, you know, I kind of hate that practice, but that's the price of, I guess, being an early adopter. You pay more for it, and then later on it's going to be cheaper.
Yeah.
So, but after that, you know, I rented Dragon Age 2, and I said, you know what, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for the Ultimate Edition until we saw it for $9.99 for the regular version.
And, I wonder if renting will even be acceptable. That's my big question, is used games okay, but how are they going to differentiate between a used game and a rental, GameFly? Does that just mean nobody gets to rent the games? Because that seems even more ridiculous.
Right. Or in the current generation, with all the online passes, if you rent a game, you're not going to get the full game. You're not going to be able to play online. You're not going to be able to get those extra quests in Emilor, for example.
And I think that trying to eliminate used games is vile and a bad move. I think online passes are annoying but acceptable. Especially Sony's been doing it a lot. I completely understand for an online game, like, hey, take away some of the features so you can play this game, you know, single player, do whatever you need to do. And if you want to play online on our servers that we pay to maintain, you need to give us $10. I'm okay with that. I think that's a fair way for them to recoup some loss.
I somewhat disagree, because they're not, I mean, accepting an online pass makes it okay in the future for them to kind of move beyond that. I think it's that first step, but they already got the reimbursement from the original game sale, and someone selling their copy to a friend isn't increasing the load on their servers. It's just moving that load from one person to another person. So they're not feeling any kind of increased bandwidth or increased storage or anything by having someone else play it than the original purchaser.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And the whole thing of online passes and the antagonism towards used games, to me it reeks of greed and money grabbing, which, I know, they're businesses. Their main goal is to make money and to profit, be profitable. But it comes at an expense, and that expense is the trust of your consumers.
I forgive Sony a little more on the online passes because their service is free. So they don't ever pay to maintain the servers on it anyway. Xbox, I think it's even more criminal to lock out Gears or Halo when you pay $60 a year for the privilege of playing online anyway.
Right.
And then asking people to pay another $10 when they're already paying a premium, that is absolute greed.
Yeah.
I can't handle that. And the Kingdom of Amalur one's interesting because it's an offline game. It's single player. The thing is, there's still a huge section of the country that doesn't have broadband, that doesn't have reliable internet service that can't get their Xbox or their PS3 online. So what do those people do that buy a new game? They want something huge that they can play by themselves offline for, you know, a month or two until another good single player game comes out. And then you basically tell them to go F themselves they don't have internet.
That's really the always on mentality, the always online mentality that's been becoming a little more prominent lately is ridiculous, because we don't have full saturation of broadband connectivity throughout the country.
Right.
You can't say, you know, if you want to be able to play every feature of this game that you're paying for, you have to be online, because not everyone's going to be able to do that.
Especially for Xbox, which makes the arcade systems and their sort of truncated systems so, I don't know, so feature free. I mean, you really don't get a lot out of it if you're not on Xbox Live and you don't get the full hard drive. To tell people that might live in an area where there isn't internet that, hey, you spent money on our console and you're trying to buy our games, but we don't care about you.
Right.
Like, that's really bizarre. And I think that the Kingdom of Amalur is, it's a bridge too far for them to go for the online pass to screw single players.
Yeah. And as, I mean, I can understand with the Xbox, the little bit of outrage saying, hey, I bought your platform, I want to buy downloadable games, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I want to give you money, I just don't want to spend $60 a year doing it. But then again, it does ensure, get away from that. Sorry, cat is nosing around. It does ensure that the service is more stable, faster, more functional, I think, definitely, than, you know, a free service like Sony.
Right, and it definitely is. And I pay Xbox Live because when I do use it, I know it's going to be functional. And, it's the nerd tax. I accept the nerd tax. We get it for early adoption. We get it for being, you know, steady customers. But it seems to me now they're really, really taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
Like, it's gotten to the point where it's obscene. And I'm really curious about, I think PC gamers are partially to blame. That's because they've really accepted this purchasing a PC key only and, you know, being forced to pay $60 and not being able to recoup any loss from their terrible games that they purchase. And that really worked out on the PC. And now the defenders of this process are kind of saying, hey, PC customers have been doing it for, you know, 5-10 years, and now it's time for console players to go the same route. But that's why I play console, is I don't want to go that route.
Yeah.
That's why I do it.
Well, it's all a matter of acceptance. If you accept one thing, it's going to be a matter of Microsoft, for example, with the Xbox, if the rumor is true, of just continually pushing against that acceptance until someone breaks and says no more and makes it heard by not buying it or not buying the games for that console. But the problem is that as gamers and as tech nerds, as nerds in general, we have a very low resistance, I'd say.
Yeah.
Or not enough self-control to say, oh, I really want this game, but I really don't agree with this, or this, so I'm not going to buy it. It doesn't happen as often, so they get away with it more.
Well, yeah, because we don't want to be kept from our stuff. Like,
right.
when they come out with another infamous game or one of the other series that I absolutely love, you know, I'm going to buy it. I'm not going to be kept from it. It's the same way with TV shows when they come out that I love. Like, I want that stuff, and I have no problem spending my money. I don't know. I just, at what point do we actually break?
Right.
I just don't see it. The only thing I see beneficial coming out of this is if Xbox goes this route and doesn't allow used games. But obviously the Wii U will, or we would have heard about it by now. And if Sony's next platform still allows for used games, I think that would sink Microsoft's ship real quick.
Yeah. That would be a pretty big hit.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to go for the system that allows them to play used games, and every GameStop and, you know, Best Buy is doing used games, and so are other companies. Everyone's going to tell people that they need to purchase another console.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's exactly right, because, you know, I'm a good example of that. I prefer my Xbox to my PS3 by far. Mm-hmm. But if in the next generation an Xbox isn't going to allow me to play any used games, but a PS4 or whatever will, then I would be very inclined to making my next PlayStation my main console. As it is now, if it's a multiplat, I buy it for my 360. If it's an exclusive, I'll buy it for my PS3.
Right.
That might change.
Yeah, and that's what's really interesting is to see where that goes, because I can't imagine that Sony would possibly see the fervor from this and disallow used games themselves.
I don't know. Sony, like, I'd have been more... I'm more surprised that the rumor is coming out from Microsoft than if it had come out from Sony.
I just don't think Sony thinks that far ahead.
Mm.
That's my thing. I think that they would probably build the console with the ability to maybe lock it out remotely or something to be able to patch it, but I don't think that they would put the forethought towards doing it yet.
Right.
But, I mean, that's just looking at their horrible handling of the last couple of systems. So,
yeah.
I don't know. But we still haven't heard about them yet, so they might. And if they do, then, hey, I might make the Wii U my main console.
I doubt it'll ever get that bad for me with the way the Wii U has been looking so far.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I have a feeling that if my self-control does break, it'll break towards the Xbox or the PlayStation. Depending on what their policies are moving forward.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I'm still just pretty fuming about this situation with Amalur too. I would buy it new. But now I'm sort of debating on if we purchase it, we're supporting the process.
Right.
And I am kind of having this debate with myself because I really do want that game. Yeah. But good God, do I not want to support EA, because if they see success with it, they will jam it down our throats on everything.
Yeah, they'll keep doing it. And that's that issue of nerd self-control.
We
just don't really have it.
And what happens when they lock out, you know, half the teams in the NFL from Madden unless you get their NFL pass? I mean,
right.
Actually, that might be awesome if they did that, because I'm sure that people would revolt.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, or, you know, do something with, well... Yeah, do something with Call of Duty. Do something with some of the big titles. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have Elite, but that's an added service. That isn't affecting the base game. That's just something you can add on top of it. So that I'm okay with, because they're giving you a full game, even though I don't care for the Call of Duty series.
Right.
They're giving you a full game, and then if you want bonus content above and beyond it, pay for it. If not, it's not affecting your game.
Yeah, exactly. It's tough because I feel that we are kind of gamers kind of are entitled. We feel entitled a lot of times. And I've heard people say that we've been spoiled because we haven't had to put up with this sort of insanity before, and that we should just accept that that's how it's going to go.
Right. But
I really feel like it isn't necessarily entitlement that we should be able to rip off developers and buy used games. That's not why I buy used games.
No.
Like, I buy used games because I want to try something new out and, hey, I'll be an adopter later. Or I'm picking up a game that otherwise that developer would never see my money. And this way, hey, maybe I'll buy some DLC or something else later on down the road. But I really don't think that it's too much to ask that we be able to have some control over what we purchase.
No, or it might be something where you just don't think a game is worth $60. As a consumer, you think this game isn't worth the full price that they're charging for it. You want it, so you'll wait for it, and you'll get it at $29 or something and be happy with it. But I wouldn't mind, and it's something you brought up in your piece, I wouldn't mind if they locked out all this used game stuff as long as they had a good retail pricing structure on new games.
Exactly. Which we can't assume they'll do.
No, they probably won't. That's the thing. They'll keep it at $59.99 or more until the sales on it start dropping, and then they'll consider dropping it down. But if there was a timeline, say, you know, new games will cost $59.99 for their first 3 months on market, for example, and then after that it'll drop to $39.99.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, you know, 4 or 5 months later, it drops to $19.99 and becomes a budget title. I wouldn't mind waiting half a year on some of those titles to pick it up. I mean, hell, I just picked up L.A. Noire. That's been out since, what, summer? Before
yeah.
summer?
Yep. I think May came out. May?
Hell, I just picked up Arkham Asylum in November.
Right.
I can wait if the price is right.
And that's the other thing is, I mean, there's ways for them to structure things. Like if they made a Gran Turismo game that was $40 and then you could pay for the tracks and the cars and the things that you wanted, that's another thing that I think would be awesome. That's a good way for them to go to, you know, increase purchases and make the money digitally. And that way they're making more since it's not going through retail. There's a lot of things they could do, but that $60 point right now, we can't assume the prices are going to be cheaper next generation. And I fear that we're going to start seeing a $5 tick up in price for the next system.
Yeah.
Especially with Microsoft going Blu-ray, I could see them using that to justify another $5 jump.
Yeah.
And they're asking us to start paying more for less content.
Yeah. It's the whole thing is getting a little ridiculous because it does feel like that greed and money grab, because they can justify saying, you know, we're losing money on used games because we're losing the original sale. Well, instead of just locking out used games, make those changes to your retail pricing structure. You'll not only see your early adopters still purchasing, because it's not really going to be that different for them than it is now.
Yeah.
You're going to see your early adopters purchasing. You're going to see people who used to only buy used games start buying new games from you once they, you know, drop down the price, you know, in a few months. You're going to see increased new purchases.
Right. I mean, I would hope so anyway. And that's and that's really what it comes down to, is that they can't assure that they are losing sales. It's just like the RIAA with this whole stuff with piracy and all that garbage.
Oh yeah.
They make these insane claims like Mega Upload cost us $500 million in sales. Well, how do you know that? You can't prove that the person who pirated your software or pirated your movie would ever have bought that movie.
Oh, it's all completely arbitrary.
Exactly. And so this excuse to lock out content, they should just use an incentive. Like instead of giving us an online pass, give 7 extra quests with Kingdom of Amalur for people who buy it new. Don't take anything out of the original game. Just give us a bonus. Incentivize the stuff. Don't punish it on the other side. And that will get people to become early adopters. And if they do buy it used next time around, they'll probably pay to get all those extra quests, or they'll pay $10 online to download them.
Yeah. No, and I'm really hoping that they kind of wrap their heads around it. And more than that, I'm hoping that as consumers, we can do what we need to do in order to help them see that. Because if we keep buying it every week the same way we always do, then they're not really going to have any reason to change.
Yeah, and they'll think of it as being justified, and that's kind of frightening in general.
Yeah, well, it's that, you know, you give an inch and they'll keep taking them and keep taking them and taking them until the market in 5 years is going to be something completely unrecognizable.
And we're already moving towards straight digital. And at that point, of course, we can't trade in our games for digital. It's another one of those situations where they're probably not going to lower the price on when we go straight digital. We'll probably still be paying just as much as we always have.
Right.
But at that point, I understand what I'm spending, and maybe they'll see such a downtick in new sales because people are hesitant to spend their $60 on a downloadable title that we'll see a price drop.
I wouldn't spend $60 on a downloadable title ever.
Right. But as long as we have physical media, I really think that the used market needs to be around strictly as a consumer situation.
Well, yeah.
That's really what it comes down to, is consumers deserve to have some protection, and we need to make sure that we're insisting on that protection.
Yeah, and that's a good way of putting it. Consumer protection is a good way of putting it, because, you know, you buy a game that you don't like, what are you going to do with it? Are you like completely screwed out of your $60 because you put your faith in something that maybe you shouldn't have? Or do you have that outlet of getting, you know, 10, 15, 20, maybe 30, depending on the game and how soon after launch, back as a used product?
And it's one of those, you know, back to the digital thing where we don't have those protections. Like I said, $10 is not much to lose. Like when I go see a movie in the theater and it ends up being bad, yeah, I'm out. You know, I paid $15 to go see Transformers 2 and it was awful. Yeah. But I don't feel that ripped off because, you know, hey, it's $15. I can go, you work a couple hours, it'll be okay. $60 or even $40 or $50, I mean, that's a huge chunk of change.
Yeah.
I was looking through my pre-orders yesterday and, you know, I think in March I've got a copy of Mass Effect 3 on both systems. Same day Silent Hill collection comes out, things like that. That's a huge chunk of money. I'm basically spending my rent, as much as it would pay for me to pay rent, on new games. And if they didn't allow me to trade them in or have a backup in case they're terrible, or I need to purchase a new game later and I can trade stuff in to get a new one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to spend that type of money again.
Well, there was someone on Twitter who was saying that he's almost completely paid off his 3G Vita by trade-ins because mm-hmm. he stockpiled so many games. Trading them in has earned him almost enough to fully pay off his Vita. Maybe he wouldn't have been able to afford it otherwise.
That's the system that I'm kind of looking at now, that I'm going to have to trade stuff in if I want to pay for the Vita, which I do want. But I can't justify a new system and then, you know, what, next winter have Xbox and then the Wii is going to be out in November. Like, yeah, I need to be able to trade stuff in. I need to be able to get rid of my products, be it systems, be it games, if they want me to keep me as a customer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a lot of investment. It's a lot of money to get a new system, especially on launch.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, I didn't get my 360 until well after launch because I wasn't going to spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars on it.
Yeah.
I was okay with my PS2 and with my Genesis and with my Dreamcast, you know, holding me over. As old as those were, they were still working just fine for me.
Yeah, and the PS2 had a lot of really great games come out even after the Xbox 360 was there. You know, you got God of War 2 and Shadow of the Colossus and stuff. So,
yeah.
God, pricing, though, that's going to scare me because we saw how much Sony charged for the PS3, and that sure as hell prevented people from buying more than one system. It does worry me that we're going to see that again next generation. And then what are we going to do? Are they going to prevent us from trading in our old systems and, you know, having some sort of justification for that? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. It does kind of bum me out, the pricing of the consoles on launch, because it does lock out a lot of people from being able to get one of each system. You really can only afford one every 6 months, every year maybe, depending on what your situation is.
And, you know, they're not making their money off the hardware. They're making their money off the software. So I don't understand why they would make a system that is going to prevent people from wanting to purchase their system day one.
Yeah.
Just insane.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, PS3, it started off so expensive. I didn't buy one until June of last year. That's right. How long, I don't even remember when the PS3 came out, but all of that time in between, they could have been making that extra money off of my game purchases, but they weren't. And you got to assume that that would have kind of balanced out with the lower price of the PS3 when I purchased it.
Definitely. Definitely. And that's what, that's how Amazon makes money off their Kindle Fire. I mean, they sell it at a loss.
Yeah.
And they obviously are doing gangbusters. So there's the game industry seems to be a lot like book publishing and television and movies, where they really are archaic and they've had that grasp for so many years that they don't understand that there's new ways of doing business now.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, things like the iPhone. If we're going digital only and they're asking $60 or $70 to download something, or I can buy Game Dev Story for $1 and amuse myself for, you know, an infinite amount of time, I'm going to buy Game Dev Story.
Yeah, so, no, absolutely. I mean, that game and some of the games on the iPhone, oh, man. Like, I've been playing Jetpack Joyride almost incessantly, or Robot Unicorn Attack, you know? Mm-hmm. And you spend $1 on these games, and you get more hours out of them than with some $60 games.
Right. And there's a ton of downloadable games too, like, you know, Peggle or things for, you know, anything from PopCap, really, where if they ask me to pay, you know, $5 on my iPhone for the next Plants vs. Zombies game they make, I would pay it and I would never regret that purchase.
No, not at all.
You know, and the thing is, those games that keep us going, you know, back and forth, Mass Effect's going to be gone, so I can't guarantee I'm going to buy the next BioWare after Dragon Age 2 came out, you know? You know, the Final Fantasy series isn't what it used to be. There's not as much content in these games anymore that will keep us paying an increasing price.
Right.
You know, I know they were more expensive back in the, you know, SNES days where we were paying $60 or $70 those days for Zelda, but you know, you got a lot with that game.
Yeah. And you didn't have to worry about a lot of the things that you have to worry about now. For the most part, you know, you knew a game coming out wasn't going to be buggy followed by a lot of patches. You knew you weren't going to have to deal with a partially completed game and then a whole lot of DLC in order to get the full game, or with online passes, or this whole thing of used games was non-existent because it didn't matter.
Right.
So you knew you were going to get a good game from start to finish. And, you know, not every game was, but you know, if you're going for a major title, it was going to be good.
And yeah, that's the thing, is I think about, you know, Shining Force being one of my favorite games. I go back to that. I got so much value out of that game. And, you know, I'll probably buy Final Fantasy 13 too on Tuesday. And, you know, I'm going to get 30 hours out of that game, but that doesn't compare to what I used to get out of games.
Oh, yeah.
At all.
Absolutely,
and that's
one
of the longer ones. I mean, you know, Uncharted 3, I paid $60 for, and it was 10 hours, 8 hours.
Really? I haven't played that one yet.
Yeah, disappointing too. They're very disappointing. It's not the value that I want in comparison. So I feel like as we go on, people will revolt and yell about the used game system, and will get pissed when they charge $5 extra in the next generation. But pretty soon, we're just going to have to stop purchasing, because I don't want to pay $70 for a 5-hour game. Just don't want to do it. Yeah.
Well, and then other things like, well, like L.A. Noire, there's not really going to be a lot of replay value to that game when I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
The lies are going to still be the lies. The truth is the truth. The doubts are the doubts, whatever. The suspects are still... I mean, it's a very one-time playthrough kind of game.
Right.
Unless you're going for achievements or that kind of stuff. But as far as story, you go through it once, you know what's happened. There's no point at all in going through it again. So... Mm-hmm. I don't mind because I only paid $9.99 for it, but if I had paid $60 for it and I went through the whole story, you know, I'd like to pass it off to someone else, get $10-$15 for it at least, and put that towards another game.
Exactly. I think that you and I probably have a vastly different view on it from somebody else that works at, say, IGN or Joystick or something, because you and I pay for our games. When I get to do a review... there's a game like Crysis. I was really harsh on Crysis, but it's because I felt that spending $60 on that game was not worthwhile for me. And
right.
I think that if I had been given that game for free and they're just like, hey, review the game, I probably would have been much more glowing about it because my wallet isn't involved.
Right.
And I think that we have a much more balanced view on this because we're financially invested, whereas much of the gaming press has kind of been... I don't know, lax about calling out Xbox for the used game system, and they don't really see the complaints and the reasoning behind it, behind the customers' complaints.
Right. Well, and I will say that part of, I think, being a good reviewer is, I mean, we get games for free sometimes, and
mm-hmm.
it's a matter of looking at it and saying, if I had paid $60 for this, how would I feel?
Yeah.
And then going forward from there. And I think that sometimes, yeah, a lot of the, you know, some of the larger sites will kind of forget that. But then on the other hand, some of them are just as harsh as they can be.
Right.
I guess it depends on the person.
Yeah, it's just not a... I think when it comes down to this online pass used games, I have not heard many people defending the consumer as many as I've heard people defending Xbox for being able to do that, and how unfair it is that we buy used games.
Oh yeah, Well, Jim Sterling, I think, said it best, because he was getting some crap for bringing up the online pass in Twisted Metal and in Kingdoms of Amalur, and essentially just regurgitating old news. Mm-hmm. And he said the second it stops being news is the second it has become accepted, and that is unacceptable.
Exactly.
And so I really liked that attitude from him, saying, no, every time it comes up, it is news because it is wrong. And saying it isn't news is saying it's okay.
I completely agree. Completely agree. And he's obviously a very outspoken individual.
Yeah.
He's certainly not, he doesn't necessarily follow the rest of the journalistic edifice with what he says. But,
right.
Yeah, he made that exact point, and I'm afraid that once Amalur sells well, and it probably will, it seems to be getting a lot of press, and I'm sure it'll do great. It's going to be common practice for EA, and then we're going to see it with Sony, because obviously they picked up the online pass idea and they ran with it. And it really worries me. There's just no benefit for us as consumers that I see coming out of it, and that's what really terrifies me.
Absolutely. And at some point, there has to be a benefit for the consumer. I can understand, you know, a business wanting to be profitable, but the business is in business because of their consumers. And mm-hmm. there has to be at least some sort of respect or consideration for those consumers. Whether they're willing participants or not, you know, whether every single gamer just bends over and takes it when the inevitable happens, they should keep in mind that, you know what, it really shouldn't happen in the first place, because these are our consumers. They have given us the money we need in order to sustain our personal lives and our businesses. Maybe we should not be complete dicks to them as a business plan.
If only it worked that well.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's kind of depressing.
Common sense is a hell of a thing.
It is. But, you know, again, it's just like I was saying with the other mediums, they're going to screw themselves out of sales and out of business eventually. And those small companies like PopCap that treat people right, or Epic or Valve, are going to be the ones to pick up the pieces when, you know, the big three drop.
Yeah.
I really hope that that happens too, and they open up their eyes to what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if it comes down to it, I may end up becoming a PC gamer again. I may invest the money and just do that, because I can get games a lot cheaper on Steam sooner.
Definitely.
And yeah. Hell, if I don't mind buying new games that I can't get rid of, as long as it's not this massive financial investment to do so.
Exactly. And they treat you right and let you re-download things, and they don't tie your games to specific systems. You know, Microsoft has made it kind of difficult to switch your downloaded games to new systems and to new profiles.
Yeah.
It really is a pain in the ass. And Sony's was pretty good. One thing I like is that Sony saves your online passes for them too. So if you do get a new system, you can re-download your online pass, which is fantastic.
That is
cool. Yeah, you know, they are still not great about letting you keep stuff, and now that they've started locking down how many systems you can use with the Vita launch, I'm a little bit more worried that it's going to be more difficult to salvage those games if a system dies. So
yeah, I don't know,
scary times.
It is. I had something I was going to say and I completely blanked on it.
That happens.
Now I'm racking my brain to try to remember what it was.
But the only benefit to this that I see, I would not be sad to see GameStop drop. I mean, yeah. Honestly,
I don't really shop there at all. And I do have some qualms with a lot of their practices, as far as the way they treat their employees and their customers.
And it's not like you get a great value for what you're doing anyway. So
no.
I have a local place here that I deal with that's fantastic, and they give, you know, usually $5-$10 more than GameStop, even for older games. They're really nice to deal with, and I like shopping local over somewhere else. But Yeah, I could see that being a benefit, not having to be asked 10 questions every time I want to shop at a store.
Oh yeah. But, no, I went to Best Buy the other day, Friday actually, and more they're wanting me to. I am not wanting to shop there because they have their DirecTV representatives.
Yes.
That will walk up to you if you roam anywhere near the video games, the movies, the TV, the electronics. If you're in like that half of the store and they mm-hmm. find you unattended or attended or in the middle of a conversation or in their yeah. vicinity, even remotely, they will come up to you and start badgering you about DirecTV.
Yep.
I don't want DirecTV. I use my Comcast is mainly internet. Yep. And then TV for the bundle discount and, like, the two channels we bother watching on TV.
Yeah.
So, I say, you know, yeah, we don't watch a lot of TV. Oh, well, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's just really for our internet. Oh, well, have you considered this and this and this? No, we don't watch much TV. Our Comcast is just for our internet. And yep. that pushiness is, like, that and the fact that you can rarely ever find a Best Buy employee to help you when you need help. I don't like going into those big places. If I go into a local place, I'm going to get service.
Yep. That's something I think you see everywhere too. And because retail is trying to keep up. I mean, they know that digital is going to be the way of the future too. And that's really sad that they're just helping to ruin themselves
yeah.
by the way that they're now treating people. It's just sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's the thing is I would love to not have to go into a store to pick something up. I would love it if they made digital stuff fair, even balanced and, you know, beneficial to me. I would be on board in a heartbeat. I just don't think that they're going to do that. No. And like I said, it comes down to price drops. They've got to drop the prices to prove that it's fair.
Yeah. I can't agree with a downloadable game being priced the same as its retail counterpart.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense because... Yeah, there's the convenience factor, sure, but there's no physical production cost on the side of the publisher. The development cost is going to be the same, so I can understand, you know, there still being a good price for it because you still have to pay back that development cost, but knock $10 off.
Yeah, or... Well, yeah, I mean, it definitely knocked the price down. But I look at the digital store now, the stuff that's up there, you know, I think Duke Nukem just came out to the PSN and it's $20 to buy. That's how much it costs to get new.
Yeah.
You know, and that really shocks me. It's like, if you want me to buy digital, why wouldn't you put that at $10 or $15 online? And I probably would have picked it up just because it would have been an impulse purchase. For $15, yeah. $10, yeah, sure. But... $20 and no. That's just not going to do it for me.
No, not at all. Well, and then putting them online in a more timely manner too. If you want digital distribution to be your method going forward, then make it available digital day one also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at a little bit of a reduced price, and then make sure that you keep the digital price reduced relative to the retail price.
Yeah. I mean, the Ico Shadow of the Colossus, you can get them separately for $20, but you can get both for $40. You at the store. It might even be cheaper now. It's really bizarre how they've shown us how badly they're going to screw us on all this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, hell, if you're going to sell them separately online, sell them for $15 each.
Mm-hmm.
You get $30 for the pair. It's $10 cheaper than at retail.
Yeah. So far, they've done nothing but show how bad of a deal it is for you and I to purchase our games digitally from people. I mean, LA Noire is $50 online for like the complete edition that they've got, but that's a terrible deal when you've got it at Best Buy for $10.
Yeah. Well, and mine, the LA Noire I have wasn't the, with all the DLC and everything. It was just the regular original release.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, still the regular copy of it is $29 right now.
Right.
Or, you know, it's $19 on Amazon.
Just insane. Yeah. we're basically moving into the time where we're all going to start getting screwed over. And hopefully it goes into some kind of revolt, but God only knows.
Yeah, that again depends on the consumers being willing to go without the things they enjoy long enough to for it to have an effect on the publishers.
Yeah, or people that are deep gamers and have been for years start taking over these companies and becoming the CEOs. Maybe they'll be more generous and even-handed with it.
Yeah, instead of putting the generic businessman at the top, put someone who actually came from and loves the medium.
Right.
Yeah.
Hopefully, but I'm not holding my breath.
No. It's gonna go the same route as every other business goes.
Right.
Movies started out one way, and now it's a much more corporate kind of industry. Music started out one way, and now it's a much more corporate kind of industry. Gaming is a lot younger than both of those, but it's making its way into that kind of this is how an entertainment industry is supposed to grow up. They're growing up into that.
I'm really hoping that more publishers, like, say PopCap, people that can stay, even though, I know they're not autonomous now, but I'd like to see developers become autonomous and distribute their products themselves. And I know Microsoft and Sony probably would never allow that to happen, but it would be great to see developers in charge of this stuff and kind of bypassing the big publishers that they have to go through.
Yeah.
Just forget about EA. Let Kurt Schilling, pay for the distribution himself. I'm sure the guy can afford it. And then they can just reap the benefits that way. And price things how they want and compete that way instead of having somebody setting these prices at $60 or $70.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, the transferring digital titles thing, that's what I was gonna bring up is when we got Lindsay her second Xbox, so that I have mine, she has hers now. Splitting up the titles was pretty ridiculous because some of the, XBLA games she had purchased on her account, some I'd purchased on mine. And one thing we had tried to make sure of before getting the second Xbox was to see whether we'd be able to keep the full list on each Xbox. Which we were told we could, but it ended up later on after we bought the Xbox finding out that we couldn't. But then even just getting them from one Xbox to the other and sorting out who owns what was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. It's ridiculous just going from one profile to a new system. I mean, God, I got it. I bought the Halo Reach Edition, so I switched from my old Xbox, and it gave me such a hard time getting some of my titles back. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think piracy is that prevalent that they need to be this difficult about it.
No.
They make it harder to get a game legitimately.
And that's the thing, especially with piracy, now that you bring it up, a lot of the methods that they use to try to combat it are easily circumvented by pirates. You're dealing with people who have a lot of experience in circumventing this kind of thing. Whatever you throw at them might work for a month, and then it's not going to work anymore, and the only people who are going to suffer it, who are going to suffer from it, are the people who gave you the money for the game in the first place.
Right.
And it's kind of that same thing about dealing with used games. It's a punishment that is not really hitting the mark.
And you saw that with Ubisoft when they put in their real draconian always on DRM, and there was enough of an uproar. I know that they switched that up, but
Yeah.
everyone that I knew ended up just pirating Assassin's Creed. Was it Brotherhood, I think it was, that did this? They pirated the game, because it was easier and they could play offline and they didn't want to have to be hooked in. And, hey, if your internet goes out and you're bored, you're going to want to play a game because you have nothing else to do.
Right.
And preventing someone from doing that just seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
So
It's the whole concept of you've bought this from us, but we're still going to control how you use it is stupid. Absolutely stupid. Because once I've purchased it, it's mine to do with as I please. It's another issue with the iPhone saying you can't jailbreak it. Well, I own it. I can do whatever the hell I want with it. Thanks. I appreciate the product, but it's mine now.
And they don't have to, warranty it, and they don't have to guarantee it. If I do something stupid with my system, it's my fault.
Right.
but you still need to allow people to use their product in the way that they want to use it.
Absolutely.
And if I want to buy an iPhone and, you know, use it for target practice, there really is no, there's no logical reason for them to not allow me to do that.
No.
It's my product. So, yeah we'll have to see. I mean, I think it really is a problem because the people that you have making the rules and the decisions don't understand the technology.
Yeah.
And in 10 years' time, the people that will hopefully be making the decisions will be people who grew up and understand the technology and the way things work.
Yeah.
You know, you saw that with the SOPA arguments. Most of those people were not even aware of how the internet functions. I mean,
a series of tubes.
Yeah, right? Literally, they thought an IP address was the same thing as a website. You know, just lots of, you know, dumb people making these decisions. And, you know, I'm sure that the suits at Microsoft figured, hey, if people won't buy used games, they'll buy them new. They don't understand how the gamers work, and they don't understand how the technology works.
Yeah.
So hopefully we see that shift back to our benefit at some point, but yeah, God only knows.
Yeah, and actually on the topic of SOPA and PIPA and all that, you see everyone saying, oh, you know, SOPA's dead, PIPA's dead. No. No, it isn't. It's temporarily shelved until the internet's attention span moves on to something else, and then it's going to come back.
So yeah.
Keep on it. Don't forget. Don't let it slide. Don't become complacent. It is still a problem. It is going to come back. It still needs to be stopped.
Absolutely. And I know I sent some rather strongly worded emails to my senators here, and I got a response back from one of them that was not, you know, that was basically justifying voting for SOPA. But it's one of those things where they really want it, and the people that want it have a lot of money. And their attention span isn't that short. They can come back to it whenever they want, and they will keep coming back to it until it passes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you saw the quote. I don't know. Well, did you see the quote from the head of the MPAA?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, saying, you know, we give you a lot of money. Essentially, vote for what we want you to vote for, or maybe you won't be getting our money anymore. Like, how do you come out and say something like that and so blatantly expose the corruption of everything and expect that to be okay?
Well,
and then there wasn't a lot of outrage about it, so apparently it was pretty okay.
Exactly. That's what's even more frightening, is that people were kind of shrugged. Yeah, that's how it works. We understand that. Well,
yeah.
We shouldn't understand that.
No.
Oh, God, it's terrifying. Yeah, and when that happens, it'll make it even more difficult to buy games and to do anything gaming-wise. That we'll all be back to systems like our Nintendos and Sega that we can play without having to worry about, you know, having it hooked up to the internet.
Oh, yeah, and you know what? I've got enough games on my Atari 2600, NES, SNES, Genesis, Dreamcast, you know, PlayStation 2. I could be very happy playing those games for a very long time. Hell, I could play Toe Jam and Earl for weeks on end. I could then move into Sonic and then move into Tony Hawk games and then not miss my 360 or PS3 or whatever the next gen would be.
Exactly. Yeah, and I've got all my old systems, man. I can go through my PS2 and PS1 collection for probably years.
Yeah.
Still. I mean, I think that we may be back to that, and I wouldn't be surprised to see developers come out with their own distribution models where they can bypass that, and maybe even come out with new solid-state systems or ways to play games that we don't have to deal with all this bullshit.
Yeah. One can only hope.
God, pipe dream, but hey.
Yeah.
Hold out the hope.
Well, I guess that'll do it for this week, unless you have anything else you want to throw in.
I think that's it.
Cool. You can find us at maroonersrock.com, on Twitter, at @marooners_rock, on Facebook, facebook.com/maroonersrock, no underscore. And on iTunes and all that jazz. So have a great week, and we'll see you guys next week.
All right. Thanks
a lot.
Bye.